Hey Ben, what are you going to use for the cold open? Super buyers.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Bayern Munich made a solid return to the Bundesliga this past week with a pair of wins against Union Berlin and Eintracht Frankfurt. The Bavarians will face their first real test since the return on Tuesday, though, when they travel to Dortmund for an all-important matchup against Germany's second-place team. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to discuss Bayern's return to action and look ahead at Tuesday's big game with my friends Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Yeah, so Bayern did make it two wins out of two games this past week, beating Union Berlin 2-0, and then beating Eintracht Frankfurt 5-2, another big win. Against them. Right now, Bayern have a 4-point lead over Dortmund at the top of the Bundesliga table and face the Black and Yellows on Tuesday in a huge match. But before we get to that, I want to talk about how Bayern looked over this past week. So, Tim, coming into these two matches, we didn't really know how Bayern were going to shape up after such a big time off. Did they show any signs of rust against Union Berlin or even Eintracht Frankfurt?
Against Berlin, yeah, I think everybody kind of looked a little bit off. I was fully prepared for that, though. I think a lot of people were. Obviously, these are professionals, and they've been training, and they were like obviously more prepared to play than like we would have been, for example. But obviously, if you have like such a massive disruption like they had, then things are always going to be a little bit complicated. So I was fully prepared to kind of like hold off on judgment or saying like, oh, okay, he was missing all of these passes, like he's simply not good enough. I think I was more prepared to like kind of get back into that slightly more critical mindset after a couple of games. And so seeing, I kind of took the Berlin game with like a bit of a pinch of salt. I figured anything that happened, it's kind of, you know, mistakes are far more acceptable in that situation than they would be in a couple of weeks or even on Tuesday. I think what happened in the Frankfurt game was a far better example of what we can expect. And, you know, some things are going to be difficult to completely iron out. But for the most part, I do think that Bayern went into the Frankfurt game looking much more prepared and far more refreshed than they did the previous week. And I think that was kind of evident in the fact that, you know, we scored more goals, we were far more energetic. It was good. I think it was exactly what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah, Bayern did score more, but they also allowed two goals against Frankfurt. Tim, is that just like a lapse in concentration? I know they both came off of set pieces, with Martin Hinner, I guess, scoring both and then completing his hat trick later, scoring an own goal for Bayern. But was the defense looking poor, or was it just two mistakes that Frankfurt capitalized on?
It's kind of hard to say, but I think this is something that has been a problem for years. I don't think like a 2 month break has caused it. Is it 2 months or like month and a half? However long it was, I don't think we can blame that on Bayern conceding set pieces. I mean, we've just passed like, was it the 8 year anniversary of Bayern conceding arguably the worst set piece moment in our recent history against Chelsea, things that have happened against Real Madrid. Like Bayern have conceded goals because of a lack of concentration. It's something that we've all spoken about on this podcast a number of times before. It's obviously, you can say, well, obviously like it's difficult without a crowd, and when you have that sort of disruption, it's kind of difficult to keep the focus, but it's not new. It's not new, and it's really frustrating because it got to a point a few seasons ago for me where any time Bayern conceded a set piece or there was a corner or like a free kick in a dangerous position, I was never confident that Bayern were definitely going to keep the ball out. Like you look at a team like Atletico Madrid or even like Real Madrid, where as soon as they can concede a dangerous set piece, you're fairly confident that nothing is going to come from it. With Bayern, that confidence like really, really lacks at times. And it's something that we've kind of got rid of over the past few years, where we've been fortunate to have guys like Nicholas Sula, Mats Hummels, even guys like Benatia as well. He's only there for a couple of seasons, but he was still really good at defending. But it is always in the back of my mind, Bayern will probably concede at some point, and it will probably come from a set piece. A very quick side note. I remember when Bayern played Hamburg and won 9-2. I think this was in 2013. This was like the best Bayern squad imaginable, like certainly the best season. They beat Hamburg 9-2. Fantastic. Hamburg did score two goals, and I'm fairly certain both of them were set pieces. So it's like, even if you're at the absolute top of your game, that's still clearly a weakness, like however many years on.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit hard to judge how rusty Bayern as a team were, given that they played against Union Berlin and then Eintracht Frankfurt. No disrespect to either side, but, you know, Union without the fans to back them are hardly as impressive. And then this Frankfurt side has been so up and down recently, ever since Niko Kovac left, that it's really hard to know what you're going to get from them. But I think, for me at least, you could kind of look at individual players and say, okay, this guy is obviously ready for the return. He's not rusty at all. And then look at some and be like, okay, maybe he didn't quite prepare himself so well. So with that in mind, Sebastian, maybe you want to bring up a player or two that you thought is looking fresh, ready to go, and maybe another one who's looking pretty rusty and definitely needs to find his form now that Bayern are back in action.
Yeah, I can do that. Let me preface this real quick by saying I think that set pieces are really extremely difficult right now. I would assume that there is no way to really practice for that at this moment. And, well, there had been much talk before the games about having special rules for set pieces like corner kicks, maybe. So, yeah, I think this is probably part of why this hasn't been going so well, because I would imagine they haven't really practiced that much, because it is this special kind of corona situation right now. And yeah, corner kicks were one thing that were especially talked about as something that's dangerous because the players are in such close contact with one another in these situations. So I guess this probably played a role there. Okay, and then talking about players who are definitely not rusty and maybe players who might be slightly rusty, I think it is pretty easy to go to the typical guys you would point out as being very, very important for this Bayern side over the season, basically. And I think I want to mention Alphonso Davies as my first one, because I saw some things in him, especially in the second game now, that were really brilliant, and where he is, I think, still getting better than he already was. And he really was very, very, very good recently. So, I think I want to emphasize his gegenpressing, because there were several situations where he immediately got the ball back because he put himself in the right position, was very confident, took the ball, and then immediately started a Bayern attack. So that was really impressive, I think. So he's definitely my number one guy on the not rusty kind of side. I guess my second one would probably be Thomas Müller. And talking about rusty, I don't know if I would necessarily characterize it as him being rusty, but he's the player that I was the most frustrated with, and I think that's Kingsley Coman, because he had an assist in the second game, but still, yeah, it just wasn't great. He's overthinking all the time. He's right the opposite of someone like Alphonso Davies, I would say. Davies really has already an idea what's he going to do with the ball, who he could pass it to, and so on. And Coman is just the absolute opposite. He's trying something, but he's not really trying, because he's already thinking, okay, maybe I'll do this. And you basically see the speech bubble above his head, where he's thinking, what am I going to do? And it's really just very frustrating with him. As I said, I'm not sure if it's rust, but it's kind of the usual problems, probably worsened to a degree by this rust situation.
Yeah, those are probably the three players that I would have brought up first as well. So I want to talk about each of them in turn. But let's start with Alphonso Davies. Tim, I know you like to have a little bit of fun on Twitter, saying that you're, you know, in England where the Premier League reigns supreme, talking about how Alphonso Davies is better than a certain left back that might play for Liverpool. But in all seriousness, is Alphonso Davies the best left back in the world on current form, how he's playing? You know, I know obviously that other teams haven't played in a while, but does he have the talent? Is he actually up there as the best left back in the world?
Yeah, I think on current form is on current form, it's almost objectable. It's almost objective because it's who else is there? I think like going on this season alone, like since he started, I know I kind of finished the last episode by saying that he is the best. I don't think he is, but he is so close to the top. Like he is astoundingly good, to the point where I think you can comfortably say if he's not already, he certainly will be. But I don't know who the best is. Like I'm reluctant to say that it's Andy Robertson because I don't think he seems to have that sort of defensive capabilities. You know, it's players like him and Trent Alexander-Arnold on the other side. I do think what would happen if they were in a completely different team, like they're playing for a manager who demands that they run a lot, and they can do that, and they can, you know, what's the phrase? They can like spam crosses in like as often as they want, and eventually it's going to work. So I don't know. I think it's hard to say. If Andy Robertson is, you know, statistically or opinion wise the best left back in the world, fantastic. But I do think Alphonso Davies will be in that discussion very, very quickly. I think he has an absolutely fantastic balance of attacking prowess and also a defensive understanding. I think we've spoken about before how he's a winger that is playing as a fullback. Like he's not playing as just a very attacking left back. He understands that when you play in a back four, your primary role is as a defender. And obviously it's difficult when you to realize that because Bayern are always constantly attacking. But the way that he can recover the ball, I think it's so easy to say, oh, he's just like a pace merchant, or like if he wasn't quick, then like he wouldn't have anything to him. I think, yes, he is incredibly quick, but he uses his speed in such an intelligent and effective way. Whereas if we were to compare that to guys like, is it Gelson Martins, who's at Monaco, or even like Theo Walcott, or even Kingsley Coman, who I imagine we'll touch on briefly. You have these people that just have this one track mind of, I'm going to be faster than you. But then once you get past that point, it's like, okay, now what do you do? He seems to have this fantastic in-game intelligence that's really managed to catapult him up into that conversation.
I think that Sebastian and Tim, you hinted on this too. Like y'all both made great points that you can look at Alphonso Davies and how he's adapted his game since becoming a left back, and compare that with Kingsley Coman. Even though they're now playing different positions and they're certainly different players, you make a great point, Tim. If Alphonso Davies only had speed, if it was, you know, just a pace merchant, as you said, then why isn't it working out for Kingsley Coman? Because, you know, he's obviously lost a step since his last big injury, but Coman's one of the fastest players in the world, and you would think even being a winger, that would help him so much more. And he's definitely a better dribbler than Alphonso Davies. He can get past a man one-on-one almost whenever he wants. And yet still, we're on here talking about how great Alphonso Davies is and talking about how disappointing still Kingsley Coman is. So there's so much more to it than just Alphonso Davies' pace. And I think that looking at him compared to Coman just shows how impressive it is. You know, he's playing out of position. Well, not anymore. I would say he's definitely a left back by trade now, but playing in a position that's fairly new to him. And he's adapted so quickly. He's showing an understanding of the game that is incredible for someone as young as him. He's making the right decisions, like you said, Sebastian. So, for example, he had a goal and an assist yesterday. He made an excellent early cross to find Thomas Müller for his assist. Later in the game, he won the ball back after losing it just because he had the presence of mind to continue pressing the Frankfurt defense and force a turnover and get a goal with his right foot that I bet Kingsley Coman would have not even finished with his own right foot, even though he's right-footed. So I think there is definitely this big comparison between the two of them. And I don't want to, you know, sit on this podcast and just talk bad about a Bayern player the whole time, but I think Kingsley Coman could learn some lessons from Alphonso Davies about, I guess, not overthinking, but understanding the game. And you have to have more than just your physical ability to be a good player. But let's get back to Thomas Muller for a second. He was massively influential in both games, had a goal and an assist yesterday against Frankfurt, which takes him to 17 on the season. He's getting closer and closer to breaking Kevin De Bruyne's record. He has the most assists in Europe, which he did leading into the break anyway. I guess it's kind of hard to pinpoint one player that's got to be the most important to Bayern, but under Hansi Flick, especially when he plays in the middle, sort of behind Robert Lewandowski with the freedom to go where he wants, are we talking about Thomas Muller being the most influential player for Bayern right now, Sebastian?
Yeah, for me, that's clearly the case. I wouldn't even know who would kind of rival him. I think many of the other players are kind of on the same level, but Thomas Müller is just way above those. Not that he's necessarily just playing better necessarily, but he's just the center of the system, I would say. If you take away his runs, if you take away his ideas and his passes, the whole game plan has to change basically, because there's just no one else you can just plug in there. You definitely see a difference when you put Goretzka there. You see a huge difference when you put Coutinho there. Yeah, you have no real substitute for Thomas Müller in this system, and that just shows how important he is, I believe. It's not quite the same when he's on the wing. I think we have seen good games with Thomas Müller on the wing and Goretzka in the middle before and over the course of this season. But I think he's even more important when he's at the center, because yeah, it's really, I really cannot name anyone else who even comes close. Some people might say Lewandowski, but I think while he's a very, very good striker, you could just plug any very, very good striker in there and would get kind of the same results, I believe. Maybe there's a case for Alaba or Kimmich maybe being the number twos here, because they are also, at the center of the game. They are also involved in so many plays. They play so many passes and so on. But yeah, no, Thomas Müller is definitely the number one for me here, because yeah, there's just no alternative.
Tim, would you agree there? Because I think that you did bring up the obvious next choices, Sebastian. Robert Lewandowski, he's scoring all the goals. Joshua Kimmich, he's probably a bit underrated still, especially with how influential he is in midfield. But is Thomas Müller just a step up, you think, Tim?
Yeah, he, in terms of his presence on the pitch, but also his presence at the club, we were all delighted when he signed his extension. The way that he plays, as Sebastian said, like, you can have him on the wing with somebody like Goretzka in the middle, and he can be effective. But I think like what he does best is, I guess in like a very backwards way, his biggest asset is the ability to confuse teams. I think there was an interview with somebody from the US team in the World Cup in 2014 where he said that marking Müller was so difficult because at one point he'll just walk offside and you've got no idea whether you should follow him or whether you should just leave him offside. And I think being able to do that, it kind of goes back to that discussion of like positional intelligence and the ability to know exactly what's going to happen on the pitch. If he's right in the middle, he's got so much space to do that. If he's out wide, he can still do it, but it's like a hindrance. Like, he doesn't have as much space, and that's his whole thing, is like the interpreter of space. When he's on form and when he's playing through the middle, the partnership that he's got with Lewandowski is so great to see. It's so unpredictable. It's kind of everything that I love about him. There's no grace. There's no poise. It's perfect. It's the sort of thing that you look at as somebody not a professional as somebody that isn't a professional footballer and think, well, maybe I could have done it. Like, who knows? It's great. It leaves a lot of unanswered questions. But I do like him, and I've also been thinking a lot about what happens when he's just not a player at Bayern anymore. Like, not when he leaves, but at a point where he retires, who's next? Like, what do Bayern do? Because he's like such a focal point of that trademark 4-2-3-1. Even in like a 4-3-3, he can still kind of put in a shift. But it seems that our entire setup has been based around him for the past, I guess, 10 years, is whenever Louis van Gaal showed up. So I'm really interested to see like what happens next, but I'm not super looking forward to having to find out.
Well, I think credit has to be given to Hansi Flick, and then I'll let you come in, Sebastian. But I want to talk about what Tim just said. You know, Thomas Müller has basically been the building block for Bayern since 2010, and I think any manager who wants to be successful at Bayern has to find a way to make, not a way to make Müller work necessarily, but a way to make his team work around Müller, if I could. And so I think Hansi Flick deserves massive credit for understanding that and, you know, making Thomas Müller sort of the key component of his team. And I mean, Bayern are playing better than we've seen them play since, I would say, 2013. They're just that impressive right now, and they even were before this break. So credit to Hansi Flick, but yeah, I think you're spot on, Tim.
Yeah, I guess if I may, real quick, I think the only or the most reasonable answer to the question who could be our next Thomas Müller would be actually Kai Havertz, I suppose. I can kind of see some of Thomas Müller in him. He's young enough. He might just be the right age whenever Thomas Müller might stop being a professional football player for Bayern. So maybe that's an idea there. But otherwise, yeah, things will have to change a lot, I believe.
There's also the question, and I don't want to get too sidetracked here, but, you know, how much longer can Thomas Müller keep it up at this level? Because he's 30 years old, and I'd say he's looking better than he's ever looked. I know he's sort of playing a different role than he did when he was younger. But when you're on track to set the Bundesliga record for assists and you're still scoring goals with some sort of consistency, and we're talking about you being the most important player for your team, the way Thomas Müller plays, I think that we could be seeing maybe 4 or 5 years more of him playing at this sort of level. And so that's something I've been thinking about with Kai Havertz and our link with him. I can understand Bayern not wanting to go all out on him because, you know, where's he going to play? We've seen James Rodriguez, Felipe Coutinho both come in sort of supposed to take over from Thomas Müller, and Müller just gets better and better and better. So I do think you're right. Kai Havertz is probably the player that makes the most sense as a Müller successor. At the same time, you don't want to bring him in too early because, you know, we still have Thomas Müller, the man, the myth, the legend, playing and at his best. So I think Bayern shouldn't be too quick, I guess, to look for his replacement. But Tim, that's enough Müller for now, or else we'll spend the rest of the podcast talking about him. I want to come back to a player that I know you're not such a big fan of, and that's Benjamin Pavard, because personally, I think that he was Bayern's best player in the first game against Berlin, in my opinion, and then just extremely solid again against Frankfurt. He just seems to be getting better and better and better and more impressive playing right back. And so I want to make sure I'm not seeing things through these like rose-tinted glasses because we share a great name. So I'm coming to you, a Benjamin Pavard hater almost. What did you think of his performances against in the past two games? And yeah, just how's he looking at right back?
Yeah, my disliking for Benjamin Pavard is not at all sporting based. It's entirely superficial. So I don't really know how valid my opinion is here. But I'm somebody that's on a podcast, so I've got to have a valid opinion, surely. Otherwise, what's the point of me being here? In the game against Berlin, yeah, I thought he was good. Like, obviously, he gets a goal, and that's going to put his rating up a little bit. And as I mentioned at the beginning, I was always kind of willing to hold out judgment for the first couple of games or so. So I can't really talk too much about how he was against Berlin, because I don't think that's fair if I can say like, oh, he made this mistake, or like, oh no, he's really good, but I'm not going to judge anybody else. I think the way that he played against Frankfurt was fine. I think the key thing with a defender is if you don't really notice them, then they're doing a very good job. I personally want to see him play centrally. I think it's too much me wanting something very particular in my right back. And for some reason, he just doesn't necessarily fit the bill for me, even if, you know, all of the statistics prove that he can not only fit the bill, but also do it quite well. There's a phrase by a comedian called Stuart Lee, which is, well, you can prove anything with facts. And, yeah, sadly, it's kind of looking like I might actually have this wrong. But beyond anything else, I'm all for Pavard being at the club. Like, he's obviously dedicated and a hard worker, and you can't really be a part of a World Cup winning squad without having some degree of talent. So he's clearly got something going for him. But with that, I am more interested to see what he can do in the middle. But obviously that's very much disrupted by the fact that Bayern's starting right back this season is now Bayern's starting defensive midfielder. And our backup right back is, I don't know. He's not there. I want to see Odriozola get some minutes, like, just out of sheer curiosity at this point.
It says a lot that you said our backup right back, and I'm sitting here thinking, do we have a backup right back? And then you said his name, and I was like,
Lucas May at some point. Yeah, it's like, I want to see somebody like that be the guy that's like bombing down the wing, kind of, I guess, almost as like an equal to Davies, even though I think Davies is probably much better than Odriozola. I've seen him play a couple of games and I think he's fine. I think Davies is obviously slightly more adept at defending. But I don't really want to see Pavard at right back for the long term. I'd much rather get somebody that is a dedicated right back rather than somebody that is just filling in, even though he's obviously doing like a very good job, just for my own peace of mind. But sadly, the club isn't run in my interest, which is a shame. That would be pretty useful if it was.
I think, and this is just something I've been thinking about again. I'm not even sure that I strongly hold this opinion, but I think that's where I disagree with you there, because you talked about wanting to have someone who mirrors Davies playing on the right side. And I think what makes Pavard work so well as a right back is the fact that we have someone so offensively capable on the opposite flank in Alphonso Davies. And I think that you have to bring in David Alaba into this discussion as well, because what works so well for Bayern right now is that Davies can go so far forward and basically play as a left winger, almost the second left winger. David Alaba, playing in center back, can kind of scoot over Jerome Boateng, then shifts over. And now Pavard, who can kind of tuck in as well, and he's equally comfortable as a center back as he is as a right back. So I think that's what works for Bayern right now, is that sort of lopsidedness in defense. Now, that being said, Pavard has proven more and more capable going forward, even though he's kind of, I don't want to say he's the Thomas Muller of right backs, but he's not that great to watch. Aesthetically, he's not what you want to see in a right back. He's built like a center back. Sometimes he looks a little clunky going down the pitch, but his crossing is getting better and he's proving more of a goal scoring threat. He's got a crazy good shot on him. And he's shown that over and over. And so I think that this sort of Alphonso Davies on the left, always going to be attacking, but still can come back. And then Pavard on the right of, I'm going to play more defensively, but can go forward if needed, works a lot better for Bayern than it would if we had just two all-out attacking fullbacks going forward. That's just my opinion. You know, I do think that it's great to have another option, a more offensive-minded right back. I think it'd be great to bring in someone like Serginho Dest over the summer to at least give us that option. But I can also understand why Hansi Flick is continuing to stick with Pavard at right back, because the guy's played, I think, the second most Bundesliga minutes, at least for Bayern, this season behind Joshua Kimmich. So he's, within just a year of his transfer, become a cornerstone of this Bayern team. And I think that, and I know if Garrett was on, he'd back me in this, I think he deserves some sort of credit for how he's playing right now.
If I may add, interestingly, he played even more offensively than Davies in the last game. Mm-hmm. When you look at the stats, at least for a large part of the game, that was true. I didn't check after the 90th minute if it was still true.
It's still true.
But, that's crazy, I think. And that shows that while he kind of plays differently, he doesn't really play all that defensively, I believe. And also Davies, for a large part of the game, sometimes really plays quite defensively, but there's always this threat, right, that he can just take the ball and run with it, literally, and leave everyone in the dust. I guess that's also a thing we shouldn't forget here. And I also want to add that I'm a bit disappointed. Maybe Tim is also a bit rusty from the long break, but I didn't even hear one Rafinha in there when we're talking about right backs and what Tim is looking for in a right back. I was really
disappointed. I was saving it to the end. Right, well, but he's doing well, so like, that's fine.
There you go. Let's go ahead and move on to the Dortmund game so we can kind of start wrapping up with that. There's just 4 points difference right now between Bayern and Borussia Dortmund, so a win for either team on Tuesday would just be huge. The last time that Bayern and Dortmund faced off, it ended 4-0 in Bayern's favor. This time the game is in Dortmund, so I guess we're a little bit lucky that Bayern aren't going to be playing in front of a full yellow wall. Last time was also the game that I would say Alphonso Davies really kind of said, hey, like, I'm here and I can play left back. He shut down Jadon Sancho. Heading into this match, thanks to injuries and form, I guess, there are some questions as to the starting 11. There's not really a nailed down 11 that Hansi Flick has set going into this game. So, Tim, I want to hear, who are you starting in this game? And I guess I'm especially interested to hear your midfield, because Thiago has been injured and we're not sure if he's going to play. So are you going to plug in Leon Goretzka? And then who's going to take up the wings? Because there's also questions about Serge Gnabry's fitness heading into the game. So assuming that Gnabry would be good to go and Thiago would probably be okay if he can make it, what would your starting 11 be?
I think my starting 11 would be the team that started against Frankfurt. However, I think I'm more confident that Gnabry could play than Thiago. So I'd go Kimmich and Goretzka in the midfield. So like the exact same back line. I'd even have Benjamin Pavard at right back. Could you imagine such a thing? Kimmich and Goretzka in midfield. And then the three I would have Perisic. I thought he did kind of like well enough to warrant another start. Müller in the middle, and then hopefully Gnabry on the right, and then Lewandowski up top, of course. I think I, in an ideal world, I would start Thiago, but obviously he's not super fit yet. I don't think he's 100%. If he is, then he is starting that. Like, if Thiago's fit, then that's the team that I would want to start, you know, the Champions League final. But he currently isn't. So Goretzka takes that place.
Yeah, I would say that's the same lineup. I want to see what we saw on Saturday, but take out Coman to put in literally anyone, but especially Serge Gnabry if he's available. And I think even if Thiago is fit, let Goretzka play, because I was impressed by him against Frankfurt. I think that him playing as a 10 with Müller on the right wing isn't exactly ideal. And I think that he pairs well with Joshua Kimmich. I know Thiago does as well, but Thiago didn't look especially solid against Berlin, whereas Goretzka impressed me yesterday. Goretzka seems ready. It's against Dortmund. He's a former Schalke guy. Let him get in there. Let him get some minutes. So yeah, same team for me, slightly different reasons. But if Serge Gnabry's fit, please let him play over Kingsley Coman. Sebastian.
Yeah, I very much agree with you guys. I would totally agree that it would be ideal to play both Thiago and Gnabry, but I think with Thiago, I'm kind of fine with him staying on the bench if he's not at 100%, because, yeah, Goretzka is going to do a good job, I believe, at least a serviceable job, and I'm just not so sure with Kingsley Coman, so I definitely prefer Gnabry there. It's a shame that we don't really have many options at our disposal right now. You really don't want to take Thomas Müller out of that middle. Otherwise, I might say, okay, maybe put Thomas Müller to the side and get Joshua Saxe in there or something, just to keep things interesting, because I think he could use some more minutes. Maybe he could use his start. I definitely think it's about time for him to at some point get that start. Maybe it doesn't have to be in this game. But the problematic is going to be the same as it's going to be in another game. So, yeah, there are really not so many options, because Cuisance really doesn't strike me as someone you want to start in this game, for example. And, yeah, with that, there are really not as many options. Vita Arp is not a topic right now, really. And, yeah, so who's it going to be if not them?
You brought up Mikael Cuisance, and this is a little off topic, but I would say I want to see him play against Borussia Dortmund, because he came on for a few minutes against Frankfurt and he looked energetic. He looked up for it. He took a shot when he had a few other options, but it was a good shot from far away. He looks like he wants to prove himself in the starting 11. And with Thiago sort of maybe not fit, I think we hopefully could see some of Mikel Quissons against Dortmund. And what better game would you have the opportunity in to go in and score and really say, okay, this is why I moved to Bayern than against Borussia Dortmund? So I would really like to see that. But Dortmund have looked really good in their two matches so far since the break. Tim, should Bayern be worried heading into this game? And if so, what players for Dortmund should Bayern have an eye on and kind of mark them as, okay, we need to keep an eye on this guy?
Yeah, there are obviously things to be a little bit cautious about. I think the main guy that's going to take the headlines is certainly Erling Haaland. I think he's he scores goals. I think it's just plain and simple. He is somebody that is going to score goals. I think getting the defense right and keeping it robust is probably the most important thing in this game. If you can keep him out, there's nothing else really too, you know, concerning about it, because we've seen Bayern do really well against this team before. Obviously, this game in the season, earlier this season, that Davies like really announced himself as a very good defender, and he managed to get Sancho off the pitch after about half an hour, like 35 minutes or so. So I don't think there's really anything too scary about it. Obviously, if they're missing Marco Reus, and that's kind of a big plus. But I think if anything, it's probably a good thing for Dortmund that they aren't, you know, trying to like shoehorn him in, because he is such a good player. But without him, they look terrifying. So I don't really know what that means for them. But you know, you've got guys like Julian Brandt that are coming into amazing form, like Torgan Hazard's obviously a very gifted player. And then like Rafael Guerrero, Ashraf Hakimi, they've got a really well balanced and gifted team. The thing that's always going to hold them back though is their defense. And I think, I believe Hummels is likely to miss the game, or he's like, he could miss the game. I don't know if it's definite or not. But I think Bayern need to score early on and just keep the pressure up, and that should be fine. If they can like really exploit like just how like kind of fragile the defense can be. I think Roman Bürki isn't the most reliable goalkeeper in the world. I think Lukas Piszczek isn't really a defensive right back. Well, he's kind of playing as a right centre back. But I think he's certainly a weak link. Guys like Manuel Akanji. I don't know if Zagadou is likely to play. I think he always tends to have a bit of a bad day against Bayern. I think as long as the team comes out ready to attack and they don't shy off, I think it should be fine. But obviously you've got guys like Erling Haaland and Jadon Sancho who are really quite dangerous players to play against.
Yeah, we've talked a good deal about Bayern's fullbacks already, but I think that heading into Tuesday's game, it's really important that, you know, they're prepared, because Dortmund's left flank in these past two games has been terrifying with Rafael Guerrero and Torgan Hazard. They've been excellent, so Benjamin Pavard's going to have his hands full. And then on the opposite flank, Achraf Hakimi, and I would assume Jadon Sancho will start this game for Dortmund. Going up against Alphonso Davies is going to be another massive matchup to keep an eye on. But if I had to single out one player for Dortmund, and you mentioned him very briefly, Tim, for me, it's got to be Julian Brandt. He's been so good since moving into a deeper midfield role, and he's sort of making this Dortmund team tick at the moment. Sort of everything good is going through him, and I think Joshua Kimmich and Leon Goretzka, whoever it is playing in midfield, is going to have a big task on their hands to keep him sort of out of the game, keep him from dictating the play, because he's really in form at the moment and he's looking really good. So Julian Brandt would be kind of the one player I'd highlight as, okay, if we're going to stop Dortmund, we need to stop this guy. Otherwise, I don't think Bayern should be too worried, but don't go in thinking, oh, this is going to be another easy 4-0 win, because Dortmund have certainly got better since then and are looking really good since the break. Sebastian, would you have anyone to add to that?
Yeah, for me, it's actually Jadon Sancho. You kind of glossed over it a little bit here, but it's really not clear if he's going to be able to start against Bayern. I think today, Lucien Favre said that he's or shall I say, Lucien Favre, anyway, if you remember our old joke, I believe. Yeah, it's still not clear, and he said today that he's just not sure if he's going to be able to start. He hopes that he's going to be able to play more minutes than in the last game, which is really not saying a lot, because that sounds kind of very, very cautious there. I mean, maybe he's bluffing, of course, and that's what makes this so interesting, because it's going to be kind of a different game if you have Jadon Sancho there, because that's going to, going to influence how Bayern is going to play. This is especially going to influence how Alphonso Davies is going to play. And yeah, he's just a very dangerous player. And if when he's on the field, Dortmund is just a better team, of course. So for me, he's that guy, and I hope he's at least getting a half. Maybe I don't think he's starting, but it would kind of be a shame if he would be more or less out of this game, because I really want to see a good game. But of course, I also want to see Bayern win. So yeah, I think a half is a good measure to settle on there. Yeah.
Well, let's not forget last time Bayern and Dortmund played, Alphonso Davies was so good they had to pull Jadon Sancho off before halftime anyway. So maybe we'll be seeing a repeat of what happened the last time these two teams faced off. But that's all the time that we have for this one. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review, a like, whatever sort of option your podcast catcher uses. We'd greatly appreciate that. You can get in touch with us by emailing us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can simply follow us on Twitter at superbayernpod and get in touch with us there. We'd love to interact with you guys. All of our podcasts can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.